You're listening to Not Your Average Culture, a podcast geared towards promoting less consuming and more doing, where I discuss topics related to dating, lifestyle, creatives, and entrepreneurship. This podcast will challenge you to open up your mind, think about things differently, and ask yourself, am I doing it for the culture or doing it for myself? I'm your host, Chardonnay. Let's get to it. What's up, everybody, and welcome back to the Not Your Average Culture podcast. This week's episode falls under the entrepreneurship category. And within this season, I'm going to be focusing a lot on finances, especially since the state that the world is in right now, a lot of people have questions related to money. So I got a chance to sit down with Arlen Hamilton, and I asked her a few key questions, such as, is this a time where venture capitalists, are they currently investing in companies? If you're someone interested in getting into investing, where should you start? And within this episode, she shares a lot of tips and resources to help get you going in the right direction. So without further ado, let's get into this episode. Hi, Arlen. Hey, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing good.
Thank you for taking the time to hop on a call with me. I really appreciate it.
Of course, I appreciate you.
Now, before we get into everything, I do want to just check in with you and make sure like you are good and everything. I know with like all this uncertainty going on, I just want to check, how are you? Like your friends, your family, like how are you doing?
Yeah, we're taking care of everything. And, you know, I think every family has a little bit going on, but we're doing well.
Cool. So I first found out about who you were through listening to an episode of Startup, the podcast that's produced by Gimlet Media. But for someone who may not be familiar with who you are, can you please share a little bit about who you are and what it is that you do?
Yeah, I'm Arlen Hamilton, and I am the founder and managing partner of an investment firm called Backstage Capital. And we invest 25K to 100K historically into underestimated founders. To us, that is that includes women, people of color, LGBTQ. Started about 5 years ago from scratch, from nothing, and have invested in more than 100 companies so far.
Nice. That is amazing. Now, for someone who may not be familiar with like Silicon Valley or venture capitalists, how would you describe this industry in like 5 words or less?
I don't know about 5 words or less. I don't know about that, but there's no way to describe it in a short amount of time, venture capital, but it's essentially it's an investment form that invests in innovative companies. So the startups like Twitter and Apple and Facebook and Airbnb that you may have used or use on a daily basis, they were all started with some venture capital.
Nice, nice. So what I wanted to dig deep into is like, before you became a VC, like take me back to that place where you first got the idea about like, oh, this is something that I want to get into. Where was your head at? Like what sparked your interest in you pursuing this industry?
Yeah, I had been working actually on tour as a road manager for different artists, different musicians. And I was on off the road for a little bit, and it was a great gig, but I wasn't on the road all the time. So I was like, you know, not very stable. And I had started noticing people like Ellen DeGeneres and Justin Bieber and Ashton Kutcher and Lady Gaga's manager, Troy Carter. They were making these little investments in a place called Silicon Valley that I was like, why are they making them? That would have been like 2011-ish. Mm-hmm. And I was like, why are they making those investments like that? And so I just got real curious. And then when I started learning what startups were, I realized, well, I'm in my early 30s and I've been a startup founder my whole life. I just didn't know what it was called because mm-hmm. I was an entrepreneur. I had always had different companies and projects and things like that. So I wanted to learn what all the players were thinking and do my research. So I started researching And then I found out that most venture capital, so all the money that goes into these like early stage companies or these growth companies that are really innovative, 90% of that funding goes to white men.
Mm-hmm.
And white men make up less than a third of the population of the country. So they're getting 3x the amount of money they should. And I was just like, that doesn't make any sense. So I had to switch it up. I had to say, you know, instead of me trying to raise money for my own company or just one company, let me try to raise money for other people's companies. Mm-hmm. And that's when it really took off, and it took a form of its own, you know, a life of its own.
Nice. So to break it down for somebody who's completely unfamiliar with this industry, do you need a degree to become a venture capitalist, or what would you need in order to get started in this field?
Yeah, you don't need a degree. I wouldn't get started in the field, to be honest. I wouldn't try to be a venture capitalist. What I would try to do is start a company that you want to start and have as much ownership of it as you possibly can. And then as you make money off of it, or as you have some, you know, somebody comes along in a few years and buys it from you, then you can use that money, that angel money, to invest in other companies. Or you can actually start now. You can start investing now on some websites like WeFunder, Seed Invest, Republic.co. All these companies let you invest like $100 into other people's companies so you can have ownership.
Mm-hmm.
But if you do want to become a venture capitalist, like, there is no certain degree for it. You can take certain classes. You can get an MBA. You know, you can try to work your way up at a fund, but you'd have to do a lot of research. And that's a lot of people do that. And it, to me, after being in it for so many years, what I'd say is, like, I don't know if the pinnacle or the goal at the top of the mountain is become a venture capitalist.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's to have as much ownership in what you do and what your life is like as possible. In fact, I started a online class, like an academy. Mm-hmm. I just started it, and it's called How to Raise Capital for Your Company. And I spend most of the time explaining how I don't think you should be chasing after venture capital money, like venture capital. I think that people, I've seen it, you know, I've seen so much, I've raised so many millions of dollars, I've earned millions of dollars. I've seen it. And people who have more ownership of their company because they didn't sell it for venture capital, they didn't exchange it, like somebody didn't hand them a bunch of money and then they took like 20, 50% of the company. Mm-hmm. The people who had to take longer to do well, had less money to do it, but had more ownership of their company, are by and large the happier people that I know.
Nice. So that's the main reason why you say, like, people shouldn't be aiming to be a VC.
Yeah, I don't think so. I think when people say they want to be a VC, they mean, I want to be able to invest in other companies like you did. You know, like, I want to be able to help spark that innovation. The way that I would do it if I could, and the way that I am, like, this is actually like a roundabout way of getting here, mm-hmm. is I would instead be just an angel investor. I would invest my own money. And the way you make your own money is you have ownership in a company that you built, or you have that company that you worked at for 10 years and you have that savings, or you do this, and that. I think it's just all about having ownership of what you do. That's what I'm trying to get across.
Got you. Yeah, because I remember, I think I seen you did a Instagram live, and you were saying something about, you were speaking to the point of using what you have as a tool to get to the next level of where you want to be, whatever that is. And
yes.
So is that essentially like what you were doing, like you were using your position as a VC to get to that next thing, is to just support.
Exactly.
Gotcha. That makes sense.
Exactly. And that's why I wrote the book. The book is about, yes, me becoming a venture capitalist, but it's about the reason behind me becoming one, and what I'm trying to do and use it as the tool more so than the end goal.
Mm-hmm.
And makes it really relatable to people, because what I want ultimately, and that's why I started the academy, is I honestly want people to have as much, and Black people to have as much ownership of their companies as humanly possible.
Nice.
That's what I hope for everybody.
Nice. Now, from personal experience of working in this field, what are some other common myths that you've heard or encountered about this particular industry?
Yeah, I think people hear venture capitalists and they think that there's a lot of money flowing, which there is, but it's not necessarily flowing to you. It's almost like, think about what it would take to become a doctor or a lawyer. Not necessarily the schooling, but the time. So you become a lawyer and you start off at the lowest, lowest ranks, and you have to work your way up for years and years and years to become a partner. And then you're at that place forever, you know, as a partner doing the same thing over and over again. So I think people think that, oh, I have a lot of like college students who come to me and they're like, I want to be a venture capitalist. And I'm like, probably you want to be a venture capitalist because you heard me say that I'm a venture capitalist. But it is like, I went the really, really long path and the really hard path. And other people take an easier path and that's difficult. So they take a more traditional path of, okay, I'm going to go to business school and then I'm going to get a, like an entry-level job at a venture capital fund, answering phone calls and making memos. And then I'll spend 7 years building my way up to something. Mm-hmm. I took a 7-year, 10-year path the same amount of time, but I just built it from the ground up and never has it been easy. So I think that myth of, I have venture capital, I get to invest other people's money, so that means that I have a lot of money and you're going to have a lot of, it's not like that. Mm-hmm. It's really, and you know, sometimes people just have to learn by doing and they don't necessarily believe when I say that. Mm-hmm. So you get in it. If you feel like you still want to do it, go for it. You know, I'm not going to stop you, but I'm just letting you know I can save you some time. Right. What I would do if I was graduating right now, like I didn't get to go to my graduation or something, like I'm 22 and I'm graduating right now, I would see if I can get a gig, like a job, so I can have insurance and I can learn and I can work for someone else. I know it's a tough economy, but I would see if I can do that and just be humble and just like learn as much as you can, be as valuable to someone else as you can. And the whole time be plotting how you're going to start your own company on the side and build that up and build as much value in that company as possible. And I talk about that in both the book and in the academy. And you can find both of those actually at itsaboutdamntime.com. Because I mean, I'm on a mission. Mm-hmm. I'm on a mission to teach this for real.
I appreciate that. I absolutely love that. And I love that you touched on those points too, because I think a lot of times people can get caught up in like, there's this one straight path and one narrow way that I have to go in order to achieve this goal. And that's kind of why I reached out to you, because you are someone that I've always considered to be pushing the cultural norms and doing things a little bit differently. And something else that you mentioned, you said that a lot of people think that there's a lot of money flowing within the VC world. And I'm pretty sure this may be a question that a lot of people are having right now in this moment is, like as someone is coming into being a VC or as a business owner, is our investor still investing? Do you think that that's something that people can look forward to, like moving forward, or like, mm-hmm. what are your thoughts around mm-hmm. that?
Yeah, there's a whole section in the academy about this, but like, you mean in the age of coronavirus?
Yeah.
Yes. So there's a whole section about it because people have asked that. Yes, some of them are still investing. I mean, like, okay, so I won't get too far into it because we don't have the time, but gotcha. Some people who make investments out of their own money, like that you knew before were millionaires or you thought they were millionaires. Some people I know lost half of their wealth in a few days in March because they had most of their stuff in the public markets and just lost it. And so a lot of them are just holding on to their money and just going to maintain. There are a lot of funds who had just raised, so they have that dry powder or that fresh money, and they're able to make investments. But here's the kicker: even like Mark Cuban, I had a live conversation with Mark Cuban. I'm a business partner with him. You can hear that on at itsaboutdamntime.com in the I think it's in the events section. Mm-hmm. Even he, as a billionaire, he's like $6 billion under like as his net worth. Even he is saying, look, I'm only going to make other investments right now in companies I already know, already have made investments in, because I need to make sure that they're okay before I go out and do something new. Mm-hmm. So what's happening? So to answer your question, the answer is yes. The answer is investors are still investing. But not most of those investors are not investing in new friends, like Drake said, right? They're not. Most of them are not investing in new relationships. Mm-hmm. So what you can do right now, if you're trying to think about like, how do I get ready to talk to an investor? This is when you have to talk to yourself and say, look, I'm probably not going to get a new investment right now. I have to adapt to that. But you can start the very seeds of a relationship with an investor so that you know 6 months, 12 months from now, when they are back to normal, they will already have known you and you'll be ahead of the curve. But if you're expecting to go out there and meet people and go around and do your round right now, it's more than likely not going to happen on very new relationships. Mm-hmm. I think it's an interesting time, though, too, to double down on bootstrapping, raising money by selling the product that you have or doing consulting work on something that's related to your product or service. That, to me, is exciting. And that's what I, again, it's about ownership and autonomy.
Mm-hmm. Like you've in such short amount of time, you've already dropped so many gems, and I really appreciate that. And so I'm just kind of curious, like what keeps you inspired? What keeps you motivated and going and everything?
Well, I have to tell you, so I've invested in 130 companies in the last 4.5 years. And each of those companies has like one or two or three founders. So we got like 250, 300 founders. Like our founders that we've invested in inspire me every day. Also, the 98% of the companies that we couldn't invest in or didn't invest in, they inspire me too. The entrepreneurs who remind me of myself and the fact that we have so much potential and so much to do and so far to go. That inspires me. I wake up every day like, there's so much to do right now. There's so much to do. Okay. What can I do today? Because there are people like you, you got podcasts, you got what you're working on. You got all kinds of things going on. The people that listen to you have all kinds of things going on. This is just, we're just getting started.
Right.
We're just getting started. And this is just so exciting to me. I feel a very strange optimism in this world right now, but it is there.
Yes, this is a good point where creatives can really be creative and like put that spark to work.
Yes.
So I am going to conclude this podcast on a light note. I usually like to end it with like a culture challenge. And it's usually three questions geared towards a fun call to action for listeners to take away from the episode. So are you ready?
I am. I think I am.
So the first question is, what is one thing that you have observed that has become a common trend amongst people that you would like to challenge people to do or think about differently for 1 week?
Oh, wow. Again, I'm going to go back to it. It has more to do with funding and stuff. Mm-hmm. Most people are looking for outside funding when they come to me. Mm-hmm. Of course, they're coming to me for money, but they're asking, how do I raise money just in general? I want to challenge you to think about for a week, what can I do instead? How can I make money? How can I earn money? Because I've also earned millions of dollars in the last 4.5 years. So mm-hmm. I'm practicing what I preach. I've also earned it. Nice. So how can I earn money? How can I turn what I do and my company that I'm trying to raise money for? How can I turn that into, how do I earn money? How do I consult? How do I customize? How do I create?
Preach. I love it. So the next question is, what general advice or resources can you share with us that can be useful for someone interested in becoming a venture capitalist or is looking for tips on how to get investors for their business? Like, I know you mentioned your book, your course.
Yeah. Let me tell you, those are the two things I'm going to take you to right now. My mm-hmm. book, if you go to itsaboutdamntime.com, my book comes out May 5th. If you're listening to this after that, it's already out. It's available in hard copy. I also read the audio version of it, which I love audiobooks. So, and it's on Kindle and ebook. Pick that up. It's going to, like, if nothing else, pick that up because you're going to get so many answers. If you think you got something from this, think about, you know, a full book. The other thing, like, to complement that, if you enjoy that, go to It's About Damn Time right now. Look for Arlen's Academy. I have How to Raise Capital for Your Company. Literally, that's the course. And it is hours and hours of me breaking it down bit by bit. I break down all the jargon. I break, you know, when you said like, what do you need to do to become a venture capitalist? And this, and this, every piece, every word is broken down for everybody to be like, be on the same field, on the same footing. There's no reason that we shouldn't all understand this. At least you understand it so you can make a decision about what you want to do moving forward.
Absolutely. And the last question/final challenge is, You are building your next business. You can only use three tools to help you build it. What three tools will you use? Ooh. And you have 10 seconds to answer.
Ooh. Okay. Oh, my MacBook Pro, Twitter, and my voice memo.
Wow, nice. And you did it under 10 seconds. I'm impressed. Twitter? Why Twitter? Out of all the platforms.
Twitter is surprisingly the way that I have met the most of my employees. Wow. Over the last 5 years. We first started talking, they add value, I add value, whatever. And then over time, they're attracted to what they see the company being. And they come from there, including one of my main business partners, Christy, came from Twitter first. And so Twitter, to me, if I'm starting a new business, I want to be connected to that talent that is out there and the pulse of things, even more so than Instagram at this point, for specifically for recruiting.
Nice. That's a twist on everything. That's the first time I've ever heard that. So is there any last things you want to share with listeners or anything of that nature?
I just really, I'm pulling for everybody, and I think we're going to make it, you know. And for anybody, any of your people who listen, because I know you got a lot of college-aged people listening, I know you didn't get to, you know, be with your cohort. You didn't get to be with them the last few weeks, and you're not going to be able to graduate in a physical location. But please believe me when I tell you, I'm 39 years old. Please believe me when I tell you, this moment is not going to define you. You can, and again, you always have that thing where you have that camaraderie with people around the country and around the world where you can say, you know what, remember when that happened and we didn't get to have our graduation? You're going to be in a sorority and a fraternity of your own because of that. Mm-hmm. So try to look at it as a positive rather than what you're missing out on. And that includes high school seniors as well. I will always be the class of 1999 high school because it was the year right before 2000 and we still have that camaraderie. So just think about that.
Nice. And another thing that I appreciate about having you on the podcast is because the biggest thing from your story is you're someone who built a company while being homeless and while being on food stamps. So you are a living example that you could potentially build something with having little to no resources. And so it's just really inspiring for you to share, like, you know, what you're doing and what you have done with basically pretty much a lack of having everything at the hands of your fingertips. So
yes, exactly.
Phenomenal. Thank you so much, Arlen, for your time. I really appreciate it. Continue to be safe, be well, and all the good things.
All right. I appreciate you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Enjoy the rest of your day.
So there you have it, everyone. This concludes this week's episode. I really appreciate the heartfelt message that Arlen gave to the graduates. I think it's so important for all the graduates or the people that were anticipating going on prom this year to just really think about that you're not in this moment alone and that you are one of the very few groups in history to be going through this moment where, you know, all this work and time that you've been waiting for this moment, now it's kind of been taken away from you. But on the bright side, I have been seeing a lot of different companies come together and create creative solutions to provide you all with some type of ceremony or some type of alternative to celebrate and honor you all for this moment, despite you not being able to share with like friends and family. And I also provide some links in the show note. I know that there are some sites where you can sponsor a graduate or sponsor like they're doing like a virtual prom or something. And if I find the links, I'll definitely put them in the show notes. So be sure to check that out. And I just want to take this time to say thank you to the frontliners, for those of you all who have put your lives at risk for other people. Like, I really want to just thank you for continuing to show up, continuing to provide service. I know this is not an easy time for anyone, and I just want to say thank you and to just wish that everyone is continuously being safe, practicing social distancing and things of that nature. So That's all I have for this episode. So till next time, peace, love, and everything in between. I'm out. Mwah.